Republicans in the Senate are promising to make big changes to the House's health overhaul bill that passed yesterday, or maybe just write a new bill from scratch. That bill that passed the House, the American Health Care Act, would repeal and replace parts of the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare, and it has already drawn criticism from hospital groups, insurers, and doctors. Here to take a closer look at what's actually in it is Sarah Cliff, reporter at Vox. Her healthcare and policy podcast is called The Weeds. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, thanks for having me.
It's great to have you once again. And let's go through this piece by piece and start with the signature piece of Obamacare, the individual mandate that required people to buy insurance. Otherwise, they would face a financial penalty. What happens in this bill when it comes to the individual mandate?
So the Republican health care bill would get rid of the individual mandate. As you mentioned, it is probably the least popular part of the health care law. And what they would replace it with, because they do want some kind of way to encourage healthy people to get into the market, that was the point of this penalty, they would replace it with a premium surcharge. So if you are someone who has coverage, drops out of coverage, spends some time without insurance because maybe you're young and you think you don't need it, then you would face a 30% surcharge on your premiums when you try to re-enter the individual market.
And is that expected to have the same effect, or is that not going to be as much of a deterrent for dropping your coverage if you're young and healthy?
So most analysts don't think it'll be quite as strong as the individual mandate. One of the worries is it could make the problem worse, because put yourselves in the shoes of a healthy 25-year-old who doesn't have insurance, decides to go check out prices. If they see that their premium is 30% higher than somebody else, they might even decide to stick it out a little bit longer without insurance because it's become so expensive.
What about Medicaid? Obamacare dramatically expanded Medicaid, which is health care for the poor. More than 30 states signed on to that expansion. What would happen to Medicaid under the Republican plan?
This is one of the biggest changes that the Republican plan makes. It ends that Medicaid expansion in 2020. So what would happen is people could keep their coverage for a few years. In 2020, enrollment freezes, and then people would be expected to gradually roll off the program. The Congressional Budget Office estimated when they analyzed an earlier draft of this bill that 14 million Americans would lose Medicaid coverage under the next decade under the Republican plan.
And as we know, the Congressional Budget Office had not yet scored this new version of the bill before it was voted on. So we don't exactly know how many people are going to lose coverage under this bill, do we?
We don't. The Medicaid part, it's probably pretty similar. The Medicaid language didn't change much from the first draft to what they voted on. But you're right. That was one of the kind of surprising and unusual things about this vote, is that legislators voted on this bill without knowing how much it costs and how many people it will cover.
The Affordable Care Act required large employers to offer insurance to employees. What happens to that requirement under this new bill?
So that requirement would be repealed under the health care bill that the Republicans passed. However, it's not clear that would have a huge effect. Employers were pretty used to offering health insurance before Obamacare's mandate. Most large employers offered coverage to their employees because they needed to stay competitive and a way to kind of win over good workers. So, you know, most economists I talk to don't think that change would have a huge effect on the market. It'd be more symbolic of rolling back an Obamacare mandate.
What about the tax credits that Obamacare had to help people with low incomes buy insurance? What happens to those?
So those do stick around and they get reduced dramatically. So you'll have much smaller tax credits. And one really important change that gets made to those tax credits is under Obamacare, the poorest people get the most generous help. If you are someone who earns, let's say, $26,000 a year, you're going to get a really generous tax credit that limits your health insurance premium to be quite low. The Republican plan does not give as much help to the low-income Americans. It gives the same tax credit to everyone who earns under $75,000, which there's a lot of range between someone earning $25,000, someone earning $75,000. So you really see a different approach to these tax credits. It is much more one size fits all, much less tethered to an individual's own income.
The provision in Obamacare that allowed young adults to stay on their parents' health plans until they're 26, one of the most popular things in the bill. What happens there?
So that sticks around. You're right. That is incredibly popular. It is not something Republicans wanted to mess with. So they have decided to let that one stand in the bill that they passed on Thursday.
That's Sarah Cliff, healthcare reporter at Vox. We've been talking to her today about, you know, the new Republican plan that passed in the House yesterday. Sarah, do you mind if we just take a few minutes on pre-existing conditions? Because
of course.
It's confusing. President Obama's Affordable Care Act prohibited insurers from denying coverage to people because of existing medical conditions, cancer, for instance, or diabetes. Now, we're seeing reports about the new House Republican plan. It says that states can get a waiver from different requirements under Obamacare, including pre-existing conditions. So a state can get a waiver, not follow that requirement. We're seeing some reports say that they can charge more for people with pre-existing conditions, or they can deny coverage to them. But the Wall Street Journal says states with waivers mean that insurers can charge more for only about a year, and they can't deny coverage. What's true?
Yeah, so this has been a really tricky one to weed through all the coverage on it. So the Wall Street Journal interpretation you cited, that one is accurate. If a state decides to get one of these waivers, what happens is insurance companies can charge people who have a break in coverage, just like I was talking about earlier. Someone who decides to go without insurance, comes back into the individual market, those people can be charged more for their specific healthcare conditions. They cannot be denied coverage. An insurance company would not be allowed to say, you know, you have cancer, we're not going to offer you a policy. But they could charge some pretty expensive premiums that, you know, would become essentially equivalent to a denial if they get especially high and unaffordable.
Mm. Okay. And by the way, what is a pre-existing condition? Everyone saw this very poignant moment with late night show host Jimmy Kimmel's monologue talking about the open heart surgery his newborn needed because, you know, obviously that's a pre-existing condition. He was born with it, a congenital heart problem. And Kimmel said if your parents didn't have medical insurance, you might not live long enough to even get denied because of a pre-existing condition. So could you unpack that?
Yeah, so pre-existing condition is kind of a term that grows out of the insurance industry, really. It is something an insurance plan would say you had before you showed up for insurance, and either we're going to charge you more because you have it and it's expensive, or we're just not going to provide coverage. And this can really run the gamut of all sorts of medical conditions, from something as serious as cancer to something, you know, more mundane like acne. You look at these underwriting handbooks that insurance companies used to have before the Affordable Care Act, and they would just have lists and lists and lists of all these different conditions that they would want to check and see if you have.
Was one of them being a rape survivor or a survivor of domestic violence? Because CNN is profiling people who said that prior to Obamacare, the Affordable Health Care Act, they were denied coverage because they were rape victims.
Yeah, so I have seen some reports of rape victims not necessarily being denied coverage, but being denied coverage related to the fact that they had been raped. So if someone would show up and say, yes, I've been a victim of rape, the insurance company might not cover STD testing or HIV testing or pregnancy because they would say that has to do with something you had already. My understanding, though, is it's a little more nuanced. A number of states in the late 2000s passed laws that outlawed this practice. So they might be outlawed even if this Republican bill came into effect. But, you know, the healthcare system is big and complicated. And these are the consequences we're starting to explore.
And we should say, so you have clarified that states under the new Republican health care plan that was passed in the House, that states can get a waiver. They can charge more for people who have pre-existing conditions. They can't deny them. But they're also going to be high risk pools for who?
So this would be for someone likely with a pre-existing condition. The Republican legislation actually isn't super detailed. But the idea is, let's say you do have that cancer patient who wants coverage, has an unaffordable premium. They want to set up some high-risk pools that person could go into where they could get a good guarantee of coverage.
Because in effect, it is denying it. If you make the premium so high they can't afford it, but they cannot flat out deny it. That's Sarah Cliff, healthcare reporter at Vox. Her policy podcast is called The Weeds. She's helped us dig in them. We'll link you to more at hereandnow.org. Sarah, thanks as always.
Thank you so much.
And we just want to take a second to make a quick note, because as House Republicans voted yesterday, their Democratic colleagues began singing. They were telling Republicans they thought the vote doomed their re-election chances. And here in the office, several people said, oh, yeah, that's the sports song for losers. Well, let's correct the record on that. Yes, the chorus is used now, but the iconic 1969 hit from the band Steam, It Comes From, is one of the great love songs of all time. Everyone, grab a hairbrush, sing along. You're listening to Here and Now.